Hi everybody, welcome to Data Exposed. My name is Scott Klein and I'm here with my guest, Jos. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks Scott. My name is Jos de Bruin. I'm a program manager in the Microsoft SQL Server team working on in-memory OLTP.
Perfect, thank you. And so thanks for coming today. So Hackathon, or the in-memory OLTP, is a huge topic, right? New to SQL 14. And as we go out and we talk about this is a huge topic around, you know, how do you get implemented? And there's some concerns around some of the implementation aspects, right? So one of the big concerns that we have with Hackathon, or that customers have with Hackathon, is around logging. What happens to my data? Because Hackathon, if we just from a quick, so why don't you take a minute and explain what Hackathon really is, right? So for those that don't know,
okay.
Right?
So Hackathon, well, first of all, Hackathon is a code name of a
right.
project we did in SQL Server, which we released SQL Server 2014. And marketing came up with the fancy name in-memory OLTP. So that is how we are calling the feature now.
In-memory OLTP. All right, so slap my hand. In-memory OLTP. It's
yes.
easier to say Hackathon, but in-memory OLTP.
That's true. We still use the name internally. So in-memory OLTP is memory optimized database technology, which we build right into SQL Server. So you can now create tables that are memory resident and that have data structures and data access algorithms that are specifically optimized for in-memory data. So
right.
we have much more efficient data access.
Right.
Also, one other thing we really optimize for is high levels of concurrency. So we
right.
have no locking,
no latching, yep.
nothing right. like that.
And maybe if we have time in another show, we'll do a demo. But so it's what we're saying is for in-memory OLTP is that we're now saying no changes. It's all baked into the SQL Server engine, but the process is now we're now taking your data and we're storing that completely in memory, right? So the table is a DLL, right? Compiled as a native DLL, but your data is completely 100% in memory. True?
That's right. The data is in memory. Well, memory is the main storage.
Correct.
It's the main storage device for your okay. in-memory data.
Right. Yep. And one of the concerns we have as we go out and talk about that, people are like, well, what happens if my machine turns off or crashes, right? What if the vacuum lady comes by and knocks out the cord, what happens to my data, right? Where does my data go? Right, so one of the things we want to talk about today is how we do logging. How can you recover from a system crash or someone turns your system off, right? How we recover from that, right? So how do we do logging? How does in-memory OLTP do logging?
Now, what the story you just told makes me a little bit concerned about how you run your data center, Scott.
Really,
a lady with a vacuum cleaner pulling out the power cords.
Well, so we're, yeah, not that we're doing a lot of vacuuming in a data center, but you know, so if we're running this like, you know, wherever, just if the power goes out, right?
If the power goes out, yes, you lose the contents that are in memory.
Right.
However, we do keep a copy of the data on disk. So
right.
memory optimized tables and in-memory OLTP in general satisfies all asset properties, including durability. So
right.
if your server goes down for whatever reason, or you fail over to a secondary that may be on-premise
right.
or on some secondary site, you keep your data. Your data is there.
Right, and that's how what we're going to talk about today is how we keep
yeah.
that data, right?
That's so right. So I actually have a couple of slides I want to walk
Perfect.
You through to introduce to the concepts, and then let's go to the whiteboard afterwards
Excellent.
to look at how we actually
do
this.
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay, so let's take a look at the slides. So on this first slide, I just have two slides here. First slide, I want to talk a bit about logging. So we use the database transaction log for recording all the operations on memory optimized tables.
Okay.
So we still have one transaction log for your SQL Server database, and it has the transactions both for the disk-based tables as well as the new memory optimized tables.
So we're not doing any kind of different logging. We're still using the same kind of logging mechanism.
Yeah, we use the exact same log. We use the same file. We use the same buffer in memory for the log,
Perfect.
Et cetera.
Okay.
But the log records do look a bit different.
Okay.
Particularly, the logging for memory optimized tables is completely logical. So we only log the inserts and the deletes of the rows.
Okay.
We don't log any index operations at all. We don't log inserts in indexes and no index maintenance or anything
Perfect.
Like that.
Okay.
Because
Good.
Indexes, they exist only in memory. They don't
sure.
exist on disk.
Right.
We don't need a copy on disk, right? We only need our data. That's easy. thing we really care about.
To recover from, right?
Exactly, to recover, and we rebuild the indexes on recovery.
Right. Okay, cool.
And we support all the recovery models that we have, like simple, bulk logged, fully logged. One of the things to keep in mind is that operations on memory optimized tables are always fully logged.
Okay.
So we don't do bulk logging of those operations.
So we support simple, full, and bulk, just like you normal in a normal database, right?
Yeah.
That allows us to do full and kind of differential backups and things like that, just like you would a normal database. True?
Exactly. So if you would have the same backup strategy, you would have your full backups, your differential backups, your transaction log backups, and the data for your memory optimized tables is all included in those.
And it's fully, like you say there, it's fully logged.
Right? Yeah,
fully logged.
Every operation on the memory optimized table is recorded in the log.
Good to know.
Now, having just a copy of the data in the log can be a little bit inefficient, right? Like, you could, if you just keep your log around for years, you will get many terabytes in your log file because you insert and delete rows. And then also database recovery would take a long time because you would need to scan the entire log to recover the contents of your memory optimized table.
Okay.
So for that, we do have an additional persistence mechanism, which uses something we call memory optimized data file group.
Mm-hmm.
So you add this type of file group to your database, and you use this to keep a persistent copy of the memory optimized tables.
Okay. So your create database statement's the same. Create database as you normally would, but when you were dealing with the in-memory, now we have to add a special file group that's optimized specifically for in-memory, and this is where we store a copy of.
That's right. We store a copy of the data.
Of the log data.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have two types of files in there, data files and delta files.
Mm-hmm.
And these files, again, we want to optimize everything as much as possible.
Yep.
So these files are optimized for sequential I/O, and they are append-only files. So it's not that you randomly write to in random places in the file and you read from random
sequential.
Places. It's only sequential. It's sequential write and sequential read.
Okay.
So the data files, they contain all the rows that are inserted into the tables, and the delta files, they record deletions.
Right.
So if you do a delete, then you mark it as deleted in this delta file.
Okay, perfect. Okay, excellent.
So these are kind of the concepts. So now Scott, I want to walk you through how this actually works in practice.
Right, so we can, from a conceptual standpoint, we know, all right, so I create a database, I create a memory optimized file group, I know that there's data in Delta logs, my data goes on there. But what really happens, right, as I'm doing logging, this is what really we need to know.
Exactly. Okay, so let's assume you have some kind of database, and you have a number of rows in there. So let's say you have a row R1 and a row R2.
Okay.
Now a transaction can come in and make some modifications.
Okay.
But as an example, let's say we have some transaction T1 come in, it deletes row 2, let's say, and it may insert row 3 and also insert row 4. Right, let me complete the 3 here.
Okay.
So what happens now in the engine, in the SQL Server engine, we manipulate the structures in memory, so we mark this as, this is now deleted. We mark this row as deleted, and we insert these new rows R3 and R4.
So this is not on disk.
No, this is in memory.
Right. So normally, when we look at it, we see our table as it normally would show up, right? But that table is in memory, right? So this one table is in memory.
This is in memory.
Okay.
So now, this transaction does these operations, does a delete, does two inserts, and let's say it now does a commit. So commits the transaction.
Okay.
So at this point, we write the operations to the log. So we generate a log record. So let's try to visualize a log here. So So let's say this is my log, and I've here all kinds of content in there from the past, and now I want to write a new record here.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to generate a log record which contains all these operations. So I say here delete R2, insert R3, and
R4.
Four.
Okay.
So that's now recorded in the log. And then it also says, well, we actually commit here. And this is in the same log record.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bit different than for disk-based tables, where you generate a separate log record for each operation.
Okay.
And that is undo information, such that if a transaction did not commit, you can undo that when during recovery. But okay. For memory-optimized tables, that is not necessary because the main storage is in memory, so we don't need the undo information.
Perfect. Okay.
So we only write this at commit time.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So this is now a log record, and let's say in the past we have a few other log records, right? Let's say before this I had a log record that inserted R2, and I have another log record that inserted R1.
Okay.
So we have a process which we call a checkpoint worker, which is asynchronous, so it's not part of the user transaction. And what it does is it scans the log and it fills the data and delta files,
right,
based on the contents of the log. So if we then want to look at what's going on disk, right? So, well, of course, the log is also on disk.
Sure. So this is really actually for the in memory. This is sitting on that specific file group.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, no. The log itself. The log is there's one.
Oh, one
database
okay.
log. Right. Yeah, so this is the
normal database.
The .ldf.
Yep. Right? Okay.
Which you have somewhere on some disk.
Correct.
That
okay.
is hopefully very fast.
Right.
yep. Yeah, for your LDF, and essentially, with in memory OLTP, we don't have additional requirements on disk, except that, well, because you can now have a higher throughput workload, still your log IO device will need to support it.
Sure.
Right.
Okay.
So, if you use spindles, for example, for your log device, you will not get a lot of performance benefit from in memory OLTP. So, you'll want to use like SSD or flash storage.
Sure. Okay. Perfect.
Something like that.
Right.
Right. So, this lives in the LDF, lives on disk, and of course there's always a log buffer in memory as well.
Okay.
Right. So technically the checkpoint worker I was talking about usually reads from memory.
Okay.
Right? It usually reads what is still in the log buffer in memory. So it usually does not need to go to
the LDF.
Disk.
Okay.
Right. Now let's say on disk, and this is your memory optimized file group.
Yeah, that specific file group we created for in memory, right?
That's right. That's right. And you have a number of data and delta files in there.
Mm-hmm.
So data files are they are always pretty much fixed size. You have the data files, which are 128 megabytes, and you have the delta files, which are 8 megabytes in size.
Okay.
Typically, they are a bit smaller if you have low memory system, but otherwise they're
okay.
And this is not the max. Actually, we pre-allocate the files of this size,
okay,
because that's more efficient than incremental allocations.
Okay, that makes sense.
When we create the files, we allocate this space, and then we start filling them, right?
Okay.
So, let's say you start here with an empty table, and you have here empty data delta file pair, and the checkpoint worker starts scanning the log. That's what it does. It scans the log and populates these files. So it would start scanning here, and then it encounters, hey, there is a log record for an insert
table?
Of a row,
mm-hmm.
Right? So that means I'm now going to write to my data file. I'm going to write by row R1 in here.
Okay.
Then I continue scanning, and I see here also the insert for R2. So I will also write the row R2 to my data file.
Okay. Good so far.
Yeah. Good. And we're good. Okay. So that's a straightforward case of just inserting. You just append these rows to the data file.
Perfect.
And now we come to this log record, the one of our interesting transaction one.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we encounter here a delete. So what we do is we don't go back to this data file and remove this row from there. No, we are going to go to the delta file and put a reference to this row in here. So we are going to put a reference to this row 2, which points to this one here.
Okay.
Which means it's logically deleted. Right? We don't physically remove it from the data file, we logically delete it.
Okay. And this says this is a deleted row.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So this is deleted row. So what happens when you run database recovery, so if you restart your database, for example, what we do is we scan all these data and delta files, and we consider the delta files as a map. So we say,
to your data file.
Yeah.
Okay.
So every row that's mentioned in the delta file will not be loaded in memory.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if we continue processing this one, and we also add then rows 3 and row 4.
So row 3 and 4 are not added to the delta?
No, because they were inserted.
Inserted.
They're inserted.
So they're added. So the only thing that goes in the delta are things like, or just deletes.
Exactly.
What updates go in the delta?
An update is a delete followed by an insert.
Yep.
So if I say here,
things complicated, but
now let's talk about it, right? Let's say I have another transaction T2, which does update. Let's say it updates R3 to some new row R5,
mm-hmm.
right?
So it adds it to the transaction log.
So what we do once it commits, of course, only at commit time we write to the log, but once it commits, we write a new log record, and this new log record will say, I'm going to delete row 3, and I'm going to insert row 5. So even at the level of the transaction log, it looks like a delete followed by an insert.
Then when your checkpoint comes,
exactly. So let's say checkpoint worker now reached that log record.
Okay.
And then we're going to add, let me extend this box a little bit for the delta file. I'm going to add row 3 in here, which points again to this row 3 here. And I'm going to add row 5 to the data file.
Okay. So it's a multi-step process, right? Just to make sure we all understand, right? So we throw in a transaction. Right, and it may say whatever it is, update, insert, delete. That's written to the transaction log, right? Good so far. Yeah. The checkpoint process, how often does the checkpoint process go?
The checkpoint process runs continuously.
All right, so like, so pretty frequent, right?
Literally continuously. It is a background thread that continuously scans the log.
Yeah, so
once it reaches the end of the log,
yep.
It is just waiting until new log is being generated.
Oh, okay. So it's fairly instantaneous, right? So
yeah.
This comes and said, all right, I got a new log, kick it off, go, which at that point, these new records are written here.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You will see if you run a workload yourself, you will see that these data and delta files, they will get written as log is generated.
Okay.
And even in your in the wait stats,
yep.
You will see a wait for the checkpoint worker waiting for a log to be generated.
Good.
Now, one further thing I want to touch on.
Sure.
Is checkpoint file merge.
Okay.
So when we keep appending these rows here, you could imagine, now I have all these rows are appended. So I get this big data file, and I might have deleted already many of these rows. Let's say, maybe in some later transaction, I also deleted row 5.
Okay.
Which means in this case, it's already 60% of this data file is invalid. It's just empty, right? So I only need 40% of this, but still I have this 128 megabyte file on disk, right?
Yep.
So I have this both as consuming disk space and it impacts recovery time.
Okay. Okay.
And I could have many of these pairs, right? I could have here some other file pair that might have here some further rows in here, and maybe there are also some deletes in here, right? Like maybe row 6 is deleted.
Okay.
Now let me also, for accuracy, I will say also row 8 is deleted in here. So besides this checkpoint worker, which just fills these files,
mm-hmm.
we also regularly check whether there are a lot of these empty or half empty files that we can merge to reclaim the storage space.
So there's always a bunch of unneeded space in here, right? Because we've just got rid of a bunch of rows in here, and so now they may be out of 128 meg, they may be, you know, 40-50% full.
Exactly. So what we do is then when we detect that, we kick off a merge of these files.
Okay.
And so the thing is to keep in mind that these changes are not instantaneous because we optimize for certain access patterns, right?
Okay.
Like we optimize for sequential I/O. That is why we don't want to delete the rows here from the middle. So this means that if you do a delete, like you, for example, delete all the rows in your table, you don't reclaim disk space immediately.
Okay.
It takes some time for this merge to kick in and for this cleanup to happen.
Right.
Something you need to keep in mind.
Okay.
But what happens when we decide to merge these two pairs? So merge will say, okay, now I identified several file pairs that I want to merge. So what it does, it will construct a new file pair based on the rows that are still valid.
Okay.
In these original files. So we can see from these files, we still have row 4 is valid and row 7 is valid. All the other rows are not valid anymore. Row 1 as well.
Yep.
Okay.
So 1, 4, and 7.
It is good that I'm not doing the merge myself. The SQL server is doing it for me.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So what the merge does, it will construct this new file pair and will start filling them. And in this case, we have rows 1, row 4 and row 7 are in there. So, and then when this merge has happened, these old file pairs, they can be
reclaimed.
Yes.
They're not deleted, but they're just like emptied. Is that a good way
to
say
it? No, they are deleted.
They are deleted, basically. Okay.
Yeah. It goes through several stages of garbage collection, and in the end, it's the file stream garbage collector which takes care of actually deleting them.
So once this merge happens, we don't need these anymore. We have one, so we can get rid of those. And like you said, because we're doing the merge, that helps with, from a performance standpoint, the rebuild, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Perfect. So I we understand this. So now let's say we're going through the day. Let's say for some reason the system shuts down for whatever reason, right? Heaven forbid that doesn't happen, right? But let's say it does.
Yeah.
So now what's the process for recovering our data? Does it read from here? Does it read from here? You know, where how does it rebuild our data or our table?
It reads from both.
Okay.
So I this process that is reading from the log, I call this checkpoint worker.
Mm-hmm.
That is for a reason, because it is actually building a checkpoint,
yep.
And then at some point installing it, right? And then that is like a database checkpoint.
Yep, okay.
And a database checkpoint means you can truncate the log. It means you don't need any of the log that you used previously.
Okay.
So let's let's take a look at this example. So let's say at this point in the log, a database checkpoint happened.
Okay.
Which means we don't need any of this log anymore.
Okay.
So when this database checkpoint happens, it means that we have now we now know that a copy of everything that was previously in the log, it has been recorded on disk in the memory optimized file.
Okay. Good.
So this checkpoint happens, and you could have some additional log records afterwards, like the tail of the log.
Sure.
And let's imagine in this case, we have some inserts and some deletes. So maybe we insert row 9 and we delete row 4.
Okay.
For example, right? This just simplifies. I mean, typically you would have like a whole bunch of log records.
Yep.
Right? So now during database recovery, what we do is we first read the files from the memory optimized file group and the files that are included in the last checkpoint. So let me step back. So the first step is going to be we're going to check the log to find the latest checkpoint.
Okay.
What's the latest checkpoint? Right.
Okay.
Then I'm going to find the files that are included in that checkpoint. So in this case, we have these files are included.
Okay.
So we have these rows, row 4, row 7, 4, and 1 are included. So this means we are now going to start building the table in memory.
Okay, perfect.
So in this case, let me just empty this out. So we start with an empty table, and we're going to fill it with these rows.
Okay.
So we are going to say we have rows 7,
yep.
Row 4, row one, and we might also have some indexes that reference these rows.
Right, that we build on the fly, right?
These are built on the fly, yeah. But you will always have some indexes.
Yep.
So, as some example, right?
Okay.
We build on the fly, and then after that, we apply the tail of the log. So then we start scanning the log and redoing the log records.
Okay.
So in this case, we insert R9, also in some index, and we delete R4, which means we are going to mark it as a deleted row.
And then at that point, do we insert the record into the delta on the rebuild, or is that just it's automatically gone?
Well, during redo, already we kick off the checkpoint worker process, right?
Okay.
So after I redo this, we need to make sure checkpoint worker is behind the redo process, but as soon as I have redone this, you can imagine checkpoint worker will come in and will...
I see.
Will actually...
So it's not part of the rebuild, it's the checkpoint process will go through after the rebuild and say, okay.
So what happens in this case, the checkpoint worker will find an insert of row 9, so it will start with a new file pair, and we'll insert row 9, and it will see, okay, row 4 is deleted.
So the delta 4, yeah.
So we have row 4 is deleted.
Okay. Perfect. Okay.
So that is what happens. And then at this point, once redo is finished, once the redo thread reaches the end of the log, then we bring the database online, and then it's open for queries. Your tables are all there.
Okay.
All your data is there. The data from every previously committed transaction
is there,
right. and you can find it.
Right. So again, it's a multi-step process, right? So as we do transactions, it's logging those. There's a checkpoint. If we have to rebuild, then we read from the checkpoint, and then any deltas from the checkpoint process come in and fill it in. So what means is that our startup may take a little longer than normal because we're reading the memory and building our in-memory table, and it might be a small amount of time before it's ready for querying, like you said, right? But at least our data is there. Everything from start to finish, everything's there, right?
That's right. And usually what we see is that recovery often runs at the speed of the I/O subsystem. So the faster your I/O subsystem, the faster you can rebuild your tables, and the faster your database comes back online. And you can also do this in parallel. So you can spread these files out over multiple disks. We read in parallel from all these disks, so we can take advantage of the aggregate speed.
Aggregate, right, and get even better performance from that. Right. Okay. Exactly. So this could be, you could have multiple in-memory file groups on different disks, right?
Technically you have one file group, but you can have multiple containers within that file group.
Oh, okay. Okay. Right, and that's what you spread out and read in parallel, right, to rebuild table.
That's right.
Okay. That's good to know, right?
Yep.
And, okay, wonderful. So, all right, so that, I feel better now. Right.
So I
actually learned something. Hopefully, you all learned something about how logging works and how we rebuild that. So what we learned today is keep your cleaning person out of your data center.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Learned that. But I think more importantly, we learned that your data is still safe, right? We're still doing logging. We can still recover from any point in time, right? And it just may take a few minutes, depending on the speed of your, like you said, your subsystem, right?
Yeah.
But it's still there. All your data is recoverable. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And also, one thing to keep in mind is as soon as your database is recovered, all your data is in memory ready to be queried.
Ready to be queried, right? Yeah. Perfect. Awesome. So hopefully I learned something. Hopefully you learned something. I think more importantly, you know, your data is safe. And I look forward to things that, you know, having Yost back to talk about things like your bucket count, you know, because that's going to be that's important as well. So. Over the next few, we'll have Yost back to talk about bucket count, some of the best practices around how to implement in-memory technology, right? The in-memory OLTP. So, Yost, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott, for having me.
It was a pleasure. Yes. This was great. I loved it. So, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks.